sexy, spooky bones.
Hello and welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I'm Rolando.
And we're dangerous animals. And I'm John.
Because the most dangerous animal are people.
Yeah. Is the brain worms that we all have in our heads.
Kissing bugs that are all over LA.
No, but I heard that doesn't actually do anything because I heard some guy say that. Actually, that kissing bug don't actually kiss you. So
that's Hanks. Just kidding. Tom Hanks. That's your Tom Hanks.
Yeah, it's my Tom Hanks as RFK Jr.
Oh yeah.
Kissing bugs don't actually kill anybody.
They don't even stick their tongue in there. It's just very European kissing.
French kiss.
And welcome to the show. This week we'll review Dangerous Animals. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words, we have first thoughts, and then we go to a deep spoiler analysis. But John, if you wanted to hear our crazy episode of Dr. Giggles.
Yes, I would download it off thepiratebay.org.
Or if you wanted to hear us get right to the borderline.
Final destination borderlines.
Bloodlines, borderlines, blood ride, it's too similar. Too close for me. My lazy tongue. But yes, you can do all that. Hear us talk about all those things and more on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher of choice.
Yeah, let us know down in the comments. What is your podcatcher of choice?
Or no, I mean, it's not that important. But yeah.
Read it or reply to it. I don't handle any of the social media stuff actually personally, so.
We will at most thumbs up it if feasible.
I don't
know how to
do that.
I don't know how to do that. Yes.
You look like a Gen Zer.
Yeah, I'm not hip to social media.
Yeah. What are kids up to these days? Getting on their Facebooks?
Yep.
Their MySpace top eights?
Well, they check out their MySpace top eights on their MetaQuests and their. or their on their Internet 3.0. Okay. None of these things have anything to do with dangerous animals. But John, do you want to give us the plot in 5 words?
Johnny.
5 words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
For dangerous animals. Coming in at number 3. So when I wrote these, I had to write the plot summaries back to back, and I accidentally put them in the wrong thing. So I very sophisticatedly drew arrows to indicate that I need to read these instead of those. It's all very complicated. Hold on.
Choose your own adventure. Number 3. Yeah.
For dangerous animals, Surftown notices nothing fishy.
Yeah. Yep. Very good.
At number 2 for. Dangerous animals. Sean Byrne likes his torture.
Yes. Yes, he does. Yeah.
Investigate into Sean Byrne, please. Coming in at number 1 for dangerous animals. Jai makes his own creep show.
Oh, very nice. I would say one of the major one of the things that really drew me to this movie was Jai Courtney in a villainous role who feeds people the sharks. As a way of his murder.
He's got he never really got his flowers, right? And I want to say it's because, not like these people are ever going to hear this podcast, but Sam Worthington for some reason kept getting all the big roles and he's not very good.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, and then Jai Courtney was just kind of around.
Well, he was Kyle Reese in the misspelled Genesis movie with the Y. That's incorrect.
Oh, he was, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Which is weird because Sam Worthington played the first sort of cyborg-esque type of Terminator, right?
Right. He played the Terminator who didn't know he was a Terminator. Spoilers for that terrible movie. But
Where Anton Yelchin played Kyle Reese.
Yes. R.I.P.
It's like rest a in power. Stacked cast for a movie that was what is this?
Garbage. Hot trash garbage. Christian Bale's in it after Batman. Yeah, it's not good. I would say he avoided you know, those trappings, but that movie's pretty awful. Forgettable. Yeah. Genesis. And so is his, unfortunately, his Suicide Squad movie's not very good either.
Yeah. I mean, in the second one, when he ceremoniously gets killed off in like a very fantastic fashion, he was pretty good. I guess he did the Divergent movies too, right? I'm trying to figure out what happened to Jai Courtney. Why he never got like...
It looks like he was in the first one. Yeah. I think his first big thing was he was in Spartacus. That's probably where he got his name. And then he was in Jack Reacher. Yeah. Oh, I forgot that he played Jack McClane.
Oh, that's right.
The beloved sequel to Die Hard. Yeah, A Good Day to Die Hard.
Ooh, yeah, he just kept landing in the not good sequels to very famous franchises.
Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Oh, well. But I think it's fair to say this was an improvement for him.
He's very good in this movie. Dare I say he's probably the only good actor in the movie?
Okay.
Is that a daring thing to say?
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. I also quickly want to mention Sean Bryant. Whose work we've covered pretty extensively here.
Yeah, we might be his biggest fans.
Right, yeah. I mean, The Loved Ones, if you guys have not seen that movie, go watch that. Great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Devil's Candy, I think we were a little bit more mixed on. We were not so hot on. It was okay.
This is his first movie in a long time.
Yes. So he hasn't made a movie, apparently, in 10 years. Did not know that. What did you think of his return film?
I thought Jai Courtney really chews up the scenery and I loved it. Mm-hmm. Wasn't particularly fond of any of the other actors in the movie. With that said, I also thought the movie maybe took itself a little too serious at the beginning, but man, that last act I really liked. There was something, it just went full camp, I think. And I was like, that was really good. That kind of makes it worth it. Kind of makes the whole thing worth it because it's so like almost over. It's so close to being over the top.
Mm.
Like there's that's a spoiler. Never mind.
I feel like I liked it a little more than you. I really liked the movie. I thought it was excellent. Return to form. Sean Bryan, after taking time off, I think made a great B movie. But I mean, he did it with such style and technique that I really enjoyed it. What I like is that it's a total like B movie. It's about a guy who kills people and feeds them to sharks. That is B movie material.
The Creepshow story with Ted Danson and Leslie Nielsen, where Leslie Nielsen buries people up to their neck on an area of the beach that's low tide during the day and then becomes high tide at night.
Mm-hmm.
And he records them and then he gets off on that. This is essentially the same thing, just with extra flavor.
And I think that I like the sort of grounded approach. It really kind of made you like set you there and very like, this is like not a very showy boat that he takes out. It's very like, it's like literally one of the first things we see is this sort of tour boat, because he's a guy who takes people out to swim with sharks or whatever, to view them in a cage.
They're not a couple, but these two people go out there, this guy and a girl. I guess mm-hmm. they're like studying abroad or something, right? And they go to his boat to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going on the class trip. And the neighboring boat guy is like, nah, you don't want to do that because blah, 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 schmikas. No, I'm just kidding. I can't say that. He's like... Like,
Renfield.
Yeah, last time some guy that was your age just didn't make it back.
Wink.
yeah, it was just kind of weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was probably the only like weird plot hole for me later in the movie. But
I mean, yeah. I'll let you elaborate on that later. But yeah, I like the initial setup. I like the design of the boat. It looks very industrial, big, doesn't look like your normal sort of chartered boat, nor does it give you any, it's very realistic in its design, and it looks like a boat instead of being like anything kind of spectacular about it. And the whole movie kind of plays out that way too, right? Because we meet after the cold open with the couple, or not really a couple, but the two people that are go out on the boat first. We get the cold open there, which I thought was enticing enough. It kind of shows you know what the story's about. I think they even mention there that the little backstory of Jai Courtney's Tucker? Is that where they mentioned it? His backstory there? Or is it later?
Yeah, I think so. Where he got, it's at the cold open where he got attacked by a shark when he was a kid.
Right. Yeah. And that kind of like classic bad guy. Yeah. None of these are just, I'm sure if you were to read it, it sounds very cliche, right, on the surface or how we're explaining, but I feel like it's very plausible, which is credit to the direction and the acting, that it's at least, you know, a pretty by numbers villain origin story here.
I don't think this is a spoiler. It happens in the being cold open, but that his near death experience awakened something in him that he's been trying to chase.
Yeah.
Ever since.
Yeah. The murdering of, being attacked by a shark or whatever.
Yeah.
So, but then the first part of the movie kind of kicks in and we meet,
Zephyr,
who is an American who is, you know, bumming around surfing at different beaches there in Australia, lives in a van kind of thing. Not sure what she does for money, but so it's just another.
She surfs, bruh.
Yeah. And then she meets, surprisingly, the love interest right away. Would you think of this? Meet cute.
That's where I was like, what's going on here? Like, it seemed a little too serious. And then I was like, I guess you got to have somebody that's connected to the mainland, if you will. I don't know.
Well, they bonded over Credence. So, you know, it's serious. It's deep.
Well, that's where I was like, this is kind of weird. Like, it turns very quickly. Like, she's very like, don't talk to me. And then they bond over the Credence and then they bang. I don't know. It's like, I felt like an unearned sex scene happens. And then,
she does.
I don't know if you recognize Josh Houston is the name of that actor.
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't recognize.
Played Zeus, one of Zeus's pretty boys in Thor, Love and Thunder. His character's name was Zeus Pretty Boy.
Hmm.
In case you're wondering, like, oh, have I seen this guy before? That's right. He played one of the background actors. And
yeah, clearly. I love Thor. Yeah, Love and Thunder.
It's such a good movie.
Classic. Who hasn't seen this movie?
Which I got to say, I don't think we've talked about Thunderbolts yet, but I truly enjoyed that movie.
Yes, it was quite good. Yeah, I liked it. I can see why they picked that guy to do the X-Men, the new X-Men.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It makes sense. But yes, Dangerous Animals. They kind of like have I was fairly okay with her being cute. Didn't have a problem with the sex scene because Zephyr, he like, you know, after they have sex or whatever, he's like, oh, I'm going to make you breakfast or whatever. So he goes and makes breakfast. I got to bounce, which fairly realistic considering the scenario of her not wanting to have any sort of relationship with anybody, you know, so she seemed like she was on her own. She wanted to be on her own and stuff like that. So, and he and Josh Houston,
be super self-reliant, right? Like she, even though she claimed to be from foster home to foster home, she had to have made her millions because she moved to Australia and decked out a van to be a mini home. And I don't know.
She ate bread. A lot of bread.
They make it seem like she's super poor because she has a shit ton of bread, and I'm like, bread doesn't last very long. I don't know what they're trying to say here. That bread lasts longer in Australia. I'm confused.
I mean, they try to make it. We maybe, in my opinion, we're probably like, you know, poo-pooing it a little bit. But I thought it fairly worked okay for me. It worked fine. I was more than happy, you know, the setup of it. And then she goes to the beach early morning. She goes to the beach where she wanted to, you know, surf or whatever. And that's where they meet
some tasty waves.
Yeah. Nibble on some tasty waves or whatever. Whatever the sayings are.
Gargle on that saltwater
taffy. Oh, gross. Saltwater cream. Those are words that shouldn't be near each other ever.
Cruise on those luscious bubble guts ruts. I know all the terms, man. I've been around some surfers.
Yeah, clearly, yeah. In the culture there. And then, you know, for
Darktown and Z Boys. Huh?
Jai Courtney's Tucker is there. And kind of spots her and eventually abducts her and takes her on a ship on the middle of the ocean. And surprisingly, the other girl's still alive, Heather. The he didn't end up killing her.
Well, which I don't think we mentioned. What happened at the beginning was he takes them out. They do swim with the sharks. He pulls them back up. They're like, oh, that was exhilarating. And he stabs the dude in the neck a couple times, pushes him into the ocean.
What did you
track with, like, he, like, you know, he wanted to make some movies. It didn't matter with who. I mean, he favored women more than men, but.
Right. No, I know what you mean. What was I going to ask? I was going to ask something.
Yes.
The answer's yes. Yeah. I'll just move on because I don't remember. But yeah, so I guess he's keeping the other girl. The girl, I thought he killed her because she just sort of screams and then, you know, there's a cutaway. Oh, that I remember my question. It was, what did you think of these special effects of the sharks? Did they work for you? Clearly, they're special effects. Clearly, but.
Oh, I didn't know that. Is there a. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it was very corny looking for sure, but.
Did it work at all for you? Did not.
I think it didn't work at the beginning because, like I said, everything had like a really serious tone.
Mm-hmm.
But then when the third act happened, I think it was like perfect for what it needed to be later. Because there's like a reveal of like, oh, I've been waiting for this moment. And that's when I started laughing and I was like, okay, I feel like the movie stopped being a super serious horror movie and became kind of like comedic.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really enjoying it.
Yeah. Did those sharks look almost AI made? Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, they were super CGI. Yeah.
Okay. But it didn't look like, you know, sci-fi movies. There was a couple times where
the actors were like pretending to swim around them and it didn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah. I thought fair for what it was. For that sequence, I thought it tried to invoke a sense of like wonder and mystery when they went down in the water and the sharks.
Not every movie's gonna have Sean Gunn in a green suit swimming around them, or.
Well, they probably can't afford Maxwell Lord, so.
No, not anymore. Yeah.
So yeah, I thought it worked fairly well, but it seems there to invoke like a false sense of security, right? And then he immediately kills the dude, and then Zephyr is suffocated, right, with a bag.
Yeah,
and like that, yeah. And then she awakes tied to a bed on the ship with Heather, the other girl that we meet in the beginning of the movie. I thought for sure Heather was dead already. I was like, oh, she's probably dead because they just show her screaming and then they cut away. But no, she's very much alive.
That's where you get the reveal that he likes to make movies
mm-hmm.
on a VHS camcorder, which is very special to him because it's very difficult to find VHS camcorders now, I think is the idea.
You're right. And then it kind of becomes like this thing where, like, well, not to be cliche, but like this thing where like it's the struggle between the captor and the captee, you know? So
yeah, and that's kind of the whole movie, actually, right?
it is a bit of a battle between. I mean, I'm not saying it's boring Zephyr or right? But that's Tucker. Kind of
the whole movie, yeah,
yeah. I was a little.
This is more interesting than Borderline. I thought this movie was more interesting than Borderline.
Yes,
but both had very simple premises where it's just like, okay, well, we're just going to get more of this and the movie's going to continue. Like, I don't know. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Well, they have this great,
it's a very self-contained film.
Yeah. Majority of the movie takes place on the boat. I would say the vast majority.
In that one room, right? Yeah.
Right.
Basically in that one room.
Yeah. And they have a great sequence. I think that easily the best one where Jai Courtney's dancing.
Yeah.
Shirtless, a little overweight.
Yeah. And there's like tidy whities.
Yeah. So. It was a fun sequence. But I would say the execution, like, I think you bring up a good point. If we were comparing the movies, both have very Borderline and Dangerous Animals that very, like...
Contained films.
Yeah. Very, like, storylines that, you know, that are very easy to follow. But I feel like Dangerous Animals was executed better. It was more interesting. Yeah,
I think so.
Overall, right? Mm-hmm. Because there's like this through line where Zephyr is kind of like this like no nonsense chick, right? She's not like a damsel in distress and I think they are pretty consistent with that throughout. She kind of was constantly fighting to get out of
I feel like one point she almost bites off more than she could chew. I'm just kidding. That should have been I couldn't figure out how to
should
make
be
that
just part spoilers, by the way. But yeah, and then,
like,
then
she's insulting him, I think, because she's like, I bite my thumb off at you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just kidding. Old Shakespearean. Anyway,
thumb off.
But yeah, I don't know. Simply made movie, but well done. I could see certain people. So, for example, I was watching the movie and my partner happened to walk into the room and she was like, what is this, like a CW show? Because the sharks look real corny and like, it's,
I must say,
because it's an Australian filmmaker, right? You know, they have like a very, uh-huh. you know, like, you know, you're watching an English TV show because okay. like the different frame rate and like the way it's color corrected and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I think like the Australian color correction didn't help.
I just like we have this insight into your relationship where you constantly compare things to CW shows. That's a fascinating insight. It's just stuff you watch.
Oh, it's because like Borderline was kind of like E! News, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. Like Talk Soup.
Talk Soup. Yeah. Joel McHale's Talk Soup.
Yeah, well, clearly, yeah. But yeah, and then he, his, the one night stand here, his name is Moses, and played by Josh Huston or whatever, and he's looking for her because he's like, oh, I don't. I like that scene where he's like, well, I can't, she would never do this. She wouldn't just leave her home there. And the cop's like, okay, well, what's her name? Zephyr. And they're like, what's her last name? He's like, I have no fucking idea.
Yeah. You don't know anything about this chick.
Yeah.
Luckily she didn't kill you, you know?
Yeah. It could have gone very, very wrong. It wouldn't have been this sweet romantic tale. But, cool. Did you want to get into spoilers?
Yeah.
Wait! No, stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into...
Spoilers. Feeds him to sharks. I like that he's like, the sharks don't always want to eat him. They don't always go for the thing, which is something he said. And then it was kind of like, later in the movie, kind of shown that like, yeah, sometimes sharks do it. Sometimes they don't. Just depends. Yeah. So.
Well, I think the shark recognized that Zephyr was a marlin. I don't know. He has some sort of weird allegory about marlins and why they're like the hardest catch or something. I don't know. I don't think it was meant to be anything important to the story. I think it was more of like Jai Courtney's just off his fucking rocker.
Like, you know. That's right. He did compare. He says like, we're both marlins or something, right? It's just, yeah, we're both sharks or some shit, which I thought was quite funny.
Because what's his face tries to go and help her on the boat. And of course, like, he gets his ass handed to him by Jai Courtney.
Yeah.
He actually almost gets Jai Courtney. Mm-hmm. But then the goofy neighbor that lives right next door that's like, I don't know, guys never come back, hits him on the head because he thinks that he's attacking Jai Courtney, and Jai Courtney kills that other guy.
Yeah, he's like Renford, right? He's like the guy who leads him to the slaughter.
I don't think that guy had any idea.
I think he did. I think he did.
No, I think 100% he walked in thinking Jai Courtney was being attacked by some dude. And then that's why he hit that guy. And then Jai Courtney's like, fuck. And then he hits him in the head. And the only reason I remember Jai Courtney's name is Tuck is because the guy goes, fuck, Tuck. And then falls and dies.
Yeah, it was a great, that was a great moment also in the movie when that happened. I just don't remember.
So now he's become the matinee show or something, and
he tries to kill, because eventually like they dock, and then like Heather's killed, right? And then they eventually dock, and then Moses puts it together and tries to get on the boat.
Yeah.
And then
Jai realizes he's only got enough gasoline to get to like a island nearby.
Mm-hmm.
And I think ultimately what happens is, what if it, the huge shark, like a mother size, like the shark to end all sharks, I guess, idea comes by. Mm-hmm. And Jai Courtney's like, I knew this is going to be a special one. And he's very excited. Wants nothing to do with Zephyr. And Zephyr's able to escape.
Right.
She gets caught like three times, though.
Right.
Like, she swims ashore at one point, and then Jai Courtney like goes and is able to like grab her and take him back to the boat. But she sneaks back onto the boat and sneaks up behind him and shoots him with what do you call that?
Harpoon?
Like a harpoon, yeah. And holds onto it for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I was like, what are you doing? Just let go of it. But that was that moment where like Jai Courtney gets attacked by the shark, and then you think like, oh, it's over, and then he pops up again, and then the shark eats him again, and then you think it's over, and then she gets pulled away by the harpoon.
Right.
And then you think it's over, and then she appears out of nowhere again. It had a very Peter Jackson style Lord of the Rings ending where it's like, where is this movie ending? But I thought it was funny. I actually really enjoyed that. I was like, what's gonna happen next?
Right, yeah. Yeah, I think they did a pretty good job of like setting up Zephyr and that she didn't want to be captured by him. So she had like several attempts to escape. Like there's one where early on where she tries to escape, but is drugged. And then he jumps off the boat, but tries to begin to swim, but immediately sinks. And then Tucker like hooks her out of the water, which I thought was a cool sequence. I would say overall, like the stuff in the water, I thought worked for the most part. I thought that it looked fine. It looked good. Well, yeah. Kind of well lit. Overall, I mean, that stuff can get pretty hairy. And then it looked like a lot of that stuff was shot like on location for the most part. I could tell it looked like it was shot on location, which is, I think, a plus because it adds more. If you say you're filming like in a studio and like a tank or something, which probably would have been more expensive, I imagine.
Probably, yeah.
Than for this movie.
For what the movie was, it would have been most of the budget, I think.
Yeah, I kind of feel like the whole shark angle of this was kind of like undercut because of that. I mean, this is definitely like a medium low budget movie, right?
Yeah.
So there's not all the sharks had to have been CGI or AI'd in some way with their six
and
fins.
Jai Courtney probably was just mostly on a favor sort of rate.
Right. Yeah. Probably. Yeah. But I thought it worked fairly well. So
yeah. No, I think you misunderstood. I did like the movie. I was just like I said, like at the beginning, it seemed to take itself too serious.
They had some soundtrack that I thought it was very like you're describing, like very serious. It's kind of had like this serious, whimsical score, and invoking like John. They wanted to invoke like low rent John Williams is kind of what I got from it.
Yeah, that's what I got from it too, actually.
I can see your point. Like, yeah, this is a B movie, another B movie, right? That could have gone more violent, but I don't think it was particularly violent, you know? Didn't really like show anything too graphic. No. Plays it, I think, pretty safe on that regard.
They sing Baby Shark at one point.
Yeah. What is it? Ooby Dooby or what is it? So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. But
yeah. Yeah. So, okay. Do you have any other thoughts for rate the movie or?
No, I don't think so. Other than, I think the best thing was is Jai Courtney doing that dance, which apparently he got really drunk for because he knew he only had one shot at it because he didn't want to do it over and over again.
Fair. Yeah. I did read that too. And I thought, well, yeah, that's the right way to do that. Yeah. It just is what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he essentially just like shot it with the cinematographer. And then, if they were to do it, you don't know if the director's going to want something like more harder or less or whatever. Just shoot it. That's it. This is what you got.
Yeah.
I think overall, that was a smart choice.
So, and that concludes.
No. Yeah. Alrighty. John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones. Ooh, sexy bones. Well, I know what you need. Show us your sexy.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie. I'm going to give Dangerous Animals 7.5 sexy spooky bones.
Yeah, I'm in the same ballpark too. I thought it was a 7. I thought this movie was very entertaining. Great performance here by Jai Courtney.
Yeah, he definitely steals the movie. He's like worth watching the movie for.
Yeah. I thought the premise was fairly well done for what it was, you know. Serial killer who feeds his victims to sharks. It's there.
Yeah.
It's a good premise. Decent story. Other actors were okay.
Yeah.
I like that Sean Bryant has like, he takes these ideas, right? And he just like, he still grounds them in a sort of like believability reality that's plausible. So I do like that. And I'm glad that he is back. I also will give it a 7.
Nice.
All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
I stay spooky.
That was my Tom Hanks.